You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rake site to look at the written content we have there, as well as past podcasts. We've had some fantastic guests, especially from the Houston area, covering Houston basketball over the last week. Obviously, with the Timberwolves playing the Houston Rockets, we've had a lot of coverage from Houston guys. They've offered a lot of insight on the Rockets, and so I would encourage you to go check out those podcasts to get you prepped for more Houston versus Timberwolves basketball. On today, Joseph Gill. He's the man with all the stats that you need to know about basketball, about the Timberwolves. He's hopefully going to give us some answers, but I think it might just be depressing stuff on the Timberwolves. Joseph, are you excited that there's going to be basketball in playoff form in the Target Center for the first time since 2004, or is it a little worrisome because of how they've played?
I'm happy, you know, like I'm happy it's back, but at the same time, like, you know, it's like when you like set up a date on Tinder and you're like super excited for it and you're all dressed up, and then you get there and you're like, oh no, how old are your pictures? Like, are you sure this is you? You know, that's kind of what I'm feeling right now.
It's the Tinder date that brings her kids to the date.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I was like, you know, this is why you want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Like, you can at least let me know. Like, I would have brought some more singles, man.
Just for all the kids out there, you cannot get into Chuck E. Cheese without an under 18-year-old.
So, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably for the best. Like, Dave and Buster's is there for adults. Like, I don't need, like, to hang out at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, that seems like profiling, you know? Come on.
I'm not going to divulge how many times I've been kicked or turned away from a Chuck E. Cheese as an adult, but just so you know, you have to have someone who's under the age of 18. Otherwise, they will turn you away. On to more things than my sad life and getting turned away from Chuck E. Cheese's. The Timberwolves.
Hey, man, it was going to be you or me. Like, I'm happy that somebody figured it out. I was able to stop me from going.
As the host, I took the bullet on this one. Okay, so getting back on track here. The Timberwolves hosting Game 3 in the Target Center. That's going down Saturday. So tomorrow we're recording this Friday morning, so that's going down tomorrow. It's been a rough series. They were in game one, but it was a three-point game. They had a lot of turnovers in the first game, 16 to be exact, and so they are in that game, but it was a tough one. Second game, they lost 102-82. Not really ever in that one, despite James Harden only putting up 12 points. You had the big game from Chris Paul, from Gerald Green, even Trevor Ariza chipping in. It was a tough one for the Timberwolves. You knew this series was going to be tough because it was literally the first place team three-point shooting and three-point percentage and made three-pointers per game versus literally the dead last team in the Timberwolves in made three-pointers and in attempted three-pointers. But it seems to be kind of worst-case scenario. If you had to put your finger on really what's most troubling for you about the Timberwolves headed into Game 3, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I remember saying to people back in 2008, like, hey, man, watch out for the Gerald Green revenge game. It's coming, you know. And 10 years later, here we are. You finally got it back on track. You can tell he was locked in. He wanted to stick it to his old. No, I'm kidding, obviously. I don't even know.
He was scoping out Gerald Green.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching that guy, and I was like, one day he's going to be on the one seed of the West. He's going to be an issue.
This is really going to bite us in the ass.
Exactly. Watch out, man. He'll blow up the candles on our cupcake, man. But if I had to pick one thing, I mean, like, I'm torn between, like, Towns' just complete disappearance act, and I think a lot of that's just schematically, like, what happens when you put guys like, you know, Jamal Crawford, Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, and Andrew Wiggins on the same team, and all those guys are going to try and eat. I mean, like, you know, out of those guys I just named, like, only one of them is, like, a legitimate secondary contributor, and that's Jimmy Butler. So that's concerning, obviously, but I mean, like, to pick one thing, I mean, like, can I pick the entire just schematic structure of the organization, you know, and just, like, how all these pieces were supposed to work together, and, you know, like, I tweeted out a couple days ago, I'm like, this is what happens when you soup up, like, a Hummer 3, and you're like, oh yeah, this is the best Hummer 3, like, you know, in the entire league, like, no one's gonna be able to F with their Hummer. And then you just get out there, and like, the Rucks are like a Formula One race car. Like, they're just, you know, like, they actually invested in the future, and like, they're just blowing us away. You know, like, they're not even hitting on all cylinders; they're just blowing us away.
It really is unfortunate too, because as of right now, there hasn't been a game where the Rockets looked really good as in full form. Like, they haven't had everybody hit at the same time, you know? Like, Clint Capella, Clint Capella and James Harden owned game one, especially James Harden. Chris Paul, Jael Green really owned game two. I kind of expect, like, a combination of, like, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Trevor Ariza. Like, two of those guys are really going to put up a big game in game three, I feel like. But, I mean, Lord help the Timberwolves if all these guys start making shots at the same time, because there's going to be no saving them then.
Yeah, and it's actually nuts. You know, like, looking at the stats, we're actually shooting better from three right now, percentage-wise, than the Rockets are. We're shooting 31.7% from three. They're shooting 29.2%. And they're still just murdering us. Like, at least they were in game two. You know, it's it's really scary. I mean, this is, like, the final, like, just nail in the coffin to the idea of, like, you know, hey, three is more than two. You know, like, if you take enough of them, like, you're going to get hot at some point.
And that's the thing, too, is that you mentioned their shooting percentage, but the Rockets in game two shot 52 times from downtown. They made 16 of them. They almost had as many made threes as attempted threes for the Timberwolves with 18. So, I mean, it's so hard because just matchup-wise, the Timberwolves just – it's not even that they don't necessarily have the shooters, which they don't have the three-point shooters necessary to take on this team, but it's that this offense isn't made to take threes. And so when your offense isn't made to take threes and your best weapon – against an offense to take threes is Towns, who has been a no-show in these games, you really have nothing. You really don't have anything.
Yeah, it's just a bummer on a whole bunch of levels, because, you know, like, where do you go from here? You know, if this is chess or checkers, whatever, you know, your board game analogy is, like, what is your logical next move? Just trade everybody and have the same person who compiled this roster try to, you know, make another one that's somehow better and more in touch with the times. I mean, like, my trust in the Thibodeau-laden, you know, led brigade is just at an all-time low watching this series. I mean, like, we knew that we probably weren't going to be winning this one. We'd be lucky to steal a game or two. But the way that this is all kind of broken out, even with game one being close, is just really depressing for the outlook of the Timberwolves going forward.
Yeah, and I really would like to be happy about the Timberwolves hosting a playoff game, and I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a really festive atmosphere at the Target Center. But at the same time, through the first two games, it almost looks like the Timberwolves are a little shell-shocked at how injured Jimmy Butler actually is. And I feel like I talked about this yesterday. I feel like there's a story in the works a month down the road about how injured Jimmy Butler actually is and how much he actually played through.
Yeah, he's not right. And I mean, you know, like, people kind of get caught up in the idea of, like, oh, it's a meniscus tear. It's the good tear. You know, like, there's never any good tear in your knee. You know, obviously, like, I'd rather have it be a meniscus tear and, you know, stitch or a scope versus, you know, a full blown out knee. But at the same time, like, when you have that surgery, you are, there's a lot of swelling down there. You know, your body has been entered. You know, it's reacting in a way you wouldn't expect. He doesn't look right. And it's one of those things, like, he's out there now. You know, like, we're in the playoffs. You know, we're probably going to be playing two or three more games at most. You might as well keep him out there. But, like, there's a big part of me that's saying, like, he shouldn't be playing, and that, you know, every single game he plays is just compounding this mistake by some small exponent, you know?
Well, I mean, like, should he be out there, though? Haven't we learned from Isaiah Thomas that it's better just to pull and then try and get this guy ready for next year if this is your franchise? Like, and it's not even just his knee. Like, his wrist is really messed up. He only took six shots last game. I really feel like if his wrist is actually okay, he takes more shots. There's no way that I think that Jimmy Butler is just letting himself kind of disappear on the offensive end. I think it's really messing with his shooting form, because his wrist is messed up enough. And then you had him at the free throw line a couple times where he was trying to, like, figure. It looked like he was trying to get his shoulder back into a spot where it felt good to shoot before the free throw. He's injured in a lot of ways, and it's commendable to go out there and try and help your team when you're banged up, but this is also kind of the guy you hope is going to be there for the next 4 years guiding this team to back to the playoffs. And he's like, what is he, 27, right? 27, 26?
I think he's like even 29 at this point. Like he's one of those stealth old guys since he lasted 4 years at Marquette, and then he wasn't that big of a role. Yeah, he's 28 right now, but he's going to be 29 next season.
28 right now. So you'd think if you're usually hitting your prime in the NBA at about 27, that 25 to 27 range, you should have at least 2 to 3 more years of his prime. And so you'll want him healthy next year. We're going to get to some sponsors really quick, and then we're going to try and get you prepped for Game 3 by breaking down some matchups, getting into some stats, showing you what we have for Game 3 and maybe how the Timberwolves can stay in this game. First, some sponsors. Game 3, again, the Houston Rockets, the number 1 seed, being hosted by the number 8 seed, the Minnesota Timberwolves, in the Target Center on Saturday. It's the first playoff game in Minneapolis for the NBA since 2004. Should be pretty fun to have the Timberwolves back home. Hopefully a festive atmosphere. I think that the home crowd should inject some life, hopefully, back into the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you're looking at both of these rosters and you're looking at kind of what the Timberwolves have shown through the first couple of games, Andrew Wiggins averaging 15.5 points per game, the highest over these last 2 games in the playoffs for any Timberwolves player. Is he kind of the spark? It looks like he's been locked in. Somebody should tell Wiggins he can be locked in for more than 1 consecutive game in the regular season, because this is the first time he's looked locked in for 2-plus games since, I would say, early January.
The Cavaliers and the Raptors back-to-back that one time. You know?
Yeah, since early January. And so I think that really the thing to do, if they're not going to run the offense through Towns, which clearly it doesn't look like they have any notion of doing, I think they should just let Andrew Wiggins keep shooting. I mean, he's looked good in transition. He's had some nice plays. He's looked pretty solid on defense. He's getting after rebounds. At least in the first half of games, he's getting after rebounds. I think you just let Andrew Wiggins shoot and ride it out. I mean, if you're gonna go down, might as well let Andrew Wiggins get some explosive dunks.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you hit the nail on the head. You know, like, what else can we do? You know, like, if Towns is going to no-show like this, and schematically he's not being put in a position to succeed, I don't think, but, you know, it's another podcast, another day. And Butler's banged up, you know, like, what else are we going to do? Are we going to let Jamal Crawford shoot 30 times? You know, are we going to let Jeff Teague, you know, do whatever he wants? Also, crazy, this isn't really like an analytical stat, this is just a nut stat. I was just kind of looking through the series statistics on Basketball Reference last night, and I noticed that in this series, Jeff Teague's estimated turnover percentage on Basketball Reference, which is the amount of turnovers you commit per 100 plays, is 30.6.
Dear Lord.
That's pretty high.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that is not the guy that we were hoping we would bring in, you know, in the offseason when we paid him all that money. He was supposed to be our point guard of the future while we traded Rubio away. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Wiggins has looked, you know, at his most, like, aggressive and his most mentally locked in, but there's still so many warts in his game where, you know, like, you would hope that he, like, laid the groundwork for this moment over this first 4 years in the league, and he just hasn't. You know, like, he's still so far away, it would appear, from being that guy you can depend on to take over a playoff series, you know, if Towns is not showing, if Butler's hurt. And, you know, that's the guy that we paid $150 million to, at least hypothetically. These last 2-3 games, you know, however long it's going to go, I almost feel like the Wolves have to use it as just, like, you know, the most video-intensive scouting period in this franchise's history. We're like, what can we do to improve this team going in next summer? Because this iteration of the team is just not going to get the job done next year.
In Game 3, are you hoping for another healthy dose of Derrick Rose? I mean, during the regular season, Towns does play well with Rose. I know it doesn't help the defense, and I know that just statistically and with plus minuses, Derrick Rose doesn't seem to be a whole much better option than Jeff Teague, but at the same time, he's not turning the ball over at the rate Jeff Teague is. Jeff Teague, second in the playoffs of any player for turnovers right now per game. I don't know what to do. I really am looking for something to grab onto as far as their offense and what they can do. Really, it comes down to Towns not staying in the paint ever on a lot of these possessions. And I know he is for some of them, but a lot of these possessions he keeps dashing out to the 3-point line.
Yeah.
But if you have both, the thing is both of these guys, both point guards are they've seen plenty of playoff games. They should be performing better.
No, absolutely, and you bring up a good point where, you know, like, we are pretty openly anti-Derrick Rose people in general, and I think Rose is the guy who's coming close to hitting his ceiling of performance in this playoffs, of, like, what you can reasonably expect. Like, him and Belly have probably played to the best of their station, you know? But the problem is, obviously, that Derrick Rose's ability to play well is not what it was, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago. It just seems like a pick your poison scenario either way. I mean, like, Teagan and Rose's usage rates are practically identical. They're both leading the team right now in the series in usage rate. Neither one of them is really getting the other guys in the offense, especially Towns, involved to the level that you'd like to see. And, you know, it's becoming this vicious cycle where, you know, like, they look like they give Towns a few touches in the post. He doesn't go anywhere with them because posting up is not a very effective means for scoring in 2018. And then, you know, the frustration sets in where Towns is then like, okay, give me some touches on the perimeter. They're like, you know, screw you, man. You're not playing well. Like, you know, it's my turn to take a long contested two. And the whole thing just repeats and repeats and repeats. So, I mean, I would like to see more Tyus. I know it's just the most wishful thinking in the world at this point in the season. But, I mean, Derrick Rose is not going to be the guy who takes us to that promised land, you know?
Well, and the thing about Tyus too is he might be the most consistent option right now at point guard, just because he's not going to give you a ton of turnovers. He's going to play really conserved with the ball. The problem with putting Tyus out there is he's only averaging right now over these last two games, he's only averaging just over 2 shots a game. So if I have a guard out there, I need to know that he's not only is he going to drive and try and create space for other players, but he's actually going to He's not forcing a defense to collapse on him because he's not taking any shots.
No, and you know, when Tyus is out there at his best, you know, playing his best style of basketball, it's with a healthy Jimmy Butler and engaged Karl Anthony Towns. And you know, I think you point out just, you know, a giant inherent flaw with this team because, yeah, I mean, like, he's not going to be that aggressive style player. That's not who he is. And in a situation where nothing's going right and we need to find scoring from somewhere, it's harder to play him. You know, his usage rate right now is at like 7.6%. You know, that's just, you know, as much as I love, you know, like, what he does and what he brings to this team, it's just, you know, like,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. What point guard are you going to be able to play right now? You know, like, maybe we could just throw Belly out there and he could be our point guard.
Oh, man. I don't know if I want to see Belly out against the Rockets again after getting absolutely roasted by Chris Paul.
It's going to be hard to watch no matter what, you know. Might as well go down swinging.
So if you're looking at this game, before we head out here, some matchups you're watching. Do you expect James Harden to be guarded by Jimmy Butler again? What do you expect from a point guard matchup? Do you think Chris Paul can really make some hay off of not being guarded by Jimmy Butler? Do you think they try and get switches? I don't know, to get maybe Wiggins on. I don't know what the strategy here is defensively, but who are you looking for matchup-wise in this game?
You know, it all starts with Harden. And, you know, I think the Butler's probably going to be on him again. They're probably doing a decent amount of switching like they did last game. I prefer Butler guarding Harden to Wiggins, just because Wiggins still hasn't figured out that, like, you can't reach on James Harden. You know, like, he's an MVP candidate these past few seasons, and it's like Wiggins has, like, really never seen the guy play before. It's pretty infuriating. That 3-point foul in the corner was just, like, I think that was the moment where I was like, okay, this game's probably going to trend towards being over sooner rather than later. Obviously, that's the biggest matchup. As for Chris Paul, I mean, maybe put Wiggins on him. I don't know. I don't trust either, you know, Teague or Rose to lock him up. Rose has just been showing his wear and tear. He's not been fighting through screens hard on Paul all series. And, you know, like, Paul hasn't completely burned him yet, but I feel like that game's probably coming soon. You know, I I just don't know. There's so many holes in these matchups, and this is the team that probably matches up the best with the Timberwolves out of any team in the playoffs. And obviously, like, they're the one seed that would match well against anybody, but especially against consideration the Wolves. And there's just a lot of holes, you know.
And T gets jumpy when Chris Paul dribbles for like more than 2 seconds. He kind of gets jumpy, and like, it almost like when you're playing pickup and it's the kid that knows he can't really guard against a good dribble. And so when you hold the ball at the top of the key, he kind of feels like he needs to create the turnover there or he's going to get beat. And so he starts biting and chomping at the bit to get ahead. And that's when you make your move. It feels like Chris Paul has done that a couple times to Teague last game, where he just kind of, he sits and waits him out a little bit. And then when Teague tries to make a move up on him, that's when he just sprints to the basket.
You know, it's funny, there's been a lot of this series before that's reminding me of like a pickup game. Like I don't even feel like we're getting like the Rockets full playbook. Like they come out in the first quarter and they're like, all right, let's just set a down screen on Trevor Reeves and we'll just chuck a three, you know. Like they are pretty clearly not very intimidated by this Wolves team, and it's pretty sad to watch as somebody who, you know, waited 14 years for this. We give up the 14th overall pick in that play-in game, and it's just like, This is what we get, you know. Like, this is what the organization has to build off going forward. It's been very sobering.
Well, and I mean, it makes sense too. If you're the Rockets, your aspiration should be the Western Conference Finals, right? And so, if you can just beat this team by having Harden and Chris Paul go out there and just say, you know what, we're just not really going to run too many plays. Just make something happen, because you're going to draw a bunch of the defense and you're going to make guys collapse on you and bring guys to help, and then just find something off of the space that you create. I mean, that's a pretty solid play if your two guys are James Harden and Chris Paul.
Yeah, exactly. It must be nice.
All right, so any expectations for this game? If you're calling out somebody on the Rockets and somebody on the Timberwolves to have a big night, who are those two names?
I think there's probably your aggression in the mean coming for Eric Gordon. He's shooting 17% from three so far this series. I don't think that's probably going to continue to hold. He's been fantastic for him pretty much the entire season. So, you know, watch out for that. Either him or Ariza, somewhere in this game, our aggression's probably going to come. For the Timberwolves, I mean, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, if you want to be the face of this franchise, you know, the young face of this franchise going forward, and you want to unseat, you know, Wiggins, which you probably already has done, you got to come out here and make a statement game, because if we don't win this game, it's hard to imagine the team shows up for game four, you know. So I'm going to need a really big game in the Towns, you know. I'm going to need somebody else on the team, I don't even know who, maybe it's Taj, maybe it's Nemanja, to step up and also put in a big game. But it's looking like you're at the end of a battle and you're just kind of looking around at the men you have remaining and the scraps of ammunition you have left, and it just feels inevitable at this point, you know.
It's very much an Alamo feeling right now for the Timberwolves. I definitely agree with you on the Eric Gordon. It almost just because it feels like it's his turn, you know, to have a big game for the Rockets. I think that they're going to use him too in a bunch of key spots. I think the Timberwolves actually are going to come out swinging. I think that the setting in the atmosphere is going to have them juiced. And so I think D'Antoni is going to kind of hold him maybe a little longer than he usually would, and then throw him out there to kind of be a heat check for the Timberwolves' momentum that they're going to be trying to build early on in this game behind the crowd. And so I think that they're going to try and set him up for some big threes, and I think that Eric Gordon kind of feeds off of silencing a crowd. And I think you see that a lot. You saw that early on, the game that really sticks out to me early on in the season against the 76ers when they were on the road, and it was pretty soon after you found out Chris Paul was going to be injured for a few weeks, and he had the huge game against the 76ers. Is the game that really stuck in my mind over the course of the season for Eric Gordon. I know that he's played a lot of good games, but that's the one that really sticks in my mind for what he can do against an opposing crowd. And so I'm expecting something like that from him. And then for the Timberwolves, I think Wiggins. I think it's going to be Wiggins again. He's the guy who, if he can make that first couple of shots, that big three, he's going to be locked in offensively the whole night. And I just think that he's the one who's really kind of making some plays and speeding up the offense a little bit at times. You'd hope to see that more from Teague, but Teague has been creating so many turnovers that really it seems to be Wiggins is the guy right now. And I guess if he's the one who's going to be shooting, hopefully he can at least make some of these.
Yeah, and you know, I think you talked about, you know, the team coming out, and it, this team doesn't look juiced and does not look excited to be there. Like, I hope exit meetings are really a bummer for this team then, because this just strikes me as, like, if you look at a case study of a team that just kind of gives up on their season, their coach, I don't want to say that the Timberwolves, like, check a lot of those boxes, but, like, I can't imagine morale is very high in the locker room right now, you know?
No, it cannot be. It really can't.
Yes, sorry to be such a downer, man. Oh, my gosh. Like, this is the doom and gloom podcast I'm beyond this week.
It really is. You know what? our professional recommendation is for Game 3? A stiff drink. That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's it for me. Did you have anything you wanted to add, anything else that you wanted to say about this game before we head out?
God, maybe this might sound crazy, but like maybe it's time to try talented power forward. I mean, we need to have a lot of information on what this team needs going into this summer. And it's crazy because Taj has played so well. But if Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be our best three-point shooting option and he's going to be one of the bottom five worst rim protectors in the league, a really easy fix for some of our problems could just be sliding him over to the four if he has the foot speed and he has, you know, the ability to guard force, which I think he does, and bringing in a guy like maybe like Nerlens Noel, someone disgruntled, a former Kentucky guy that he can play with, who he can get, you know, invigorated in Minnesota. But I mean, that doesn't leave a whole bunch of questions of, you know, if we're playing Towns at the four, who's playing the five, you know?
I'm ready to see the ultimate small ball lineup for the Timberwolves. Let's throw out Tyus Jones, Jeff Teague, Jamal Crawford, Derrick Rose, and then go Karl-Anthony Towns at center. That way there's no way he can't do some work in the post. He has to absolutely stay in the paint. And let's just go uber small ball. Let's just see what happens. Just have some fun with it.
Like, it's nuts. On paper, I would love to see that, but, like, I know that the four guys you just named would never pass to him. They would just, like, take turns playing one-on-one with each other, you know? Like, it's just, you can't win with these pieces, you know? Like, you can't, there is no secret sauce, you know? There is no way to make these pieces feel like more than the sum of their parts.
Yikes. Yikes. Oh, you know what? Hey, you know what? We have a playoff game in Minnesota, though. That's what we're going to hang on to as the silver lining here.
Maybe we win it. Maybe we win. Who knows?
Maybe. Crowd, if you're going to the Timberwolves game, please help the Wolves offense get some juice. Be loud. Be supportive. and don't leave early. Don't leave early because this is the first time since 2004 that there's a playoff game in the Target Center. Joseph, thank you for coming on. Thank you for adding your insight and analysis. And thank you to the listeners for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.